There's a man who's seen it all, a true hero standing tall with a badge and a pen. He takes a stage, John Moore, the freedom sage. From the Green Berets he served his land, a detective with a steady hand. Intelligence analyst, he knows the score. John Moore, he's seen it all before. Wake up with the Liberty Man, with coffee cup in hand. With his charm and his wit, he's got it all. John Moore, voice that'll never fall. Intelligence analyst, he knows the score. John Moore, he's seen it all before. Wake up with the Liberty Man, with coffee cup in hand. With his charm and his wit, he's got it all. John Moore, voice that'll never fall.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Moore here on Wednesday, the 10th day of April, visiting with my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest about 38 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Comics Conspiracy. His 6 books on this topic are for sale at Amazon.com. His website, I'll give it twice slowly, listen carefully, jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog, where 1, sometimes 2, excellent articles written every week. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, here we are. It's springtime. All these matters we pay attention to are moving forward. War in Ukraine, the threats of communist China against Taiwan, the Chinese moving in on Africa and South America, and, of course, the culture war. Where do you want to start today, sir?
Well, we can look at the fact that the United States and now Europe seems to be not supporting Ukraine in the war. So that the Russian invasion of Ukraine is likely to succeed if that does not change. So when it first happened and it was new, people were outraged at the, you know, bombing of the theater with the children and the destruction of Mariupol and the bombing of Kharkiv and Kiev and the attack on the infrastructure and the people and the ruination of a country and the Bucha massacre and so on. People were outraged. And so the politicians did what they often do, both in Europe and the United States. They bowed to the feeling of people that this was wrong and something had to be done. They did, it seems, as little as they needed to seem to be doing something. And they did it late, by the way, because the U.S. didn't give anything to Ukraine until it was clear that the Russian invasion, initial invasion, had failed when everyone thought it would succeed. So basically, the U.S. withheld aid in the expectation that Ukraine was going to be destroyed. And it didn't happen. And so we got on the hook, and then we figured out a way to excuse ourselves from helping anymore. Now, you know, you don't owe everybody help. And of course, not at your own expense, but it's in our interest. Funny thing that it is, since NATO is not prepared for a world war, NATO has largely, you know, let its military systems go. The Ukrainians were really, when they got in 2014, when they had their Euromaidan revolution and Russia invaded and annexed Crimea and invaded Donbass, they had a heads up, and they spent the last 7 years preparing, as Russia was hoping to subvert Ukraine and get it back that way. That didn't happen, so they went full-scale invasion, and the Ukrainians were ready enough to stop it. Europe is still not had a wake-up, and the difference between Ukraine and Europe is that Russia can use nuclear weapons on Europe, where they can't on Ukraine because they've declared the Ukrainians are Russians. So they don't dare do that for the sake of their own people finding out, because you can't hide the use of nuclear weapons, but you can hide other things you do. So the United States here has two important adversaries, both nuclear armed, and they have minor ones like North Korea and Iran and Cuba and Venezuela, but the big ones are Russia and China. And Russia is the biggest one in terms of nuclear striking power, ability to strike the United States directly. And to have Russia occupied in a war in Ukraine is, it makes us all more secure, because they can't be focused on us. They can't do anything to us while they're focused on Ukraine. And of course, it holds China back, because China, if it's going to go after us in the Pacific and our allies, it needs Russia, because Russia also is a Pacific country. It has the port of Vladivostok. It has a Pacific fleet. They need the Russians as helpers. And of course, you don't want to get into a two-fronted war, especially if you're Moscow and you're struggling with a one-front war. So this is really to our advantage, in a strategic sense, to keep Ukraine from falling. But nobody sees that strategic sense, except a few people who understand strategy, and I guess strategic illiteracy is a major thing now, just like, you know, most people don't read. So I'm afraid that, but then the Russian propaganda, which is what we see from people like Scott Ritter and Douglas McGregor, even Alex Jones, and we see Tucker Carlson's interview with Putin, very strange interview, where Putin tells more of the truth than he has told before, and he kind of backs away from the lies he told at the beginning of the war, and Tucker Carlson was even dismayed in the middle of the interview hearing this, and where Putin basically said, well, you know, Poland caused World War II because they didn't give in to Germany's demands. That was Putin trying to win over the Germans and break up NATO. So it's a complicated game. Our people largely don't understand it. We think in America here that the rest of the world could fall to Russia and China and we could be safe here behind our two oceans. Well, we're not, because they're in Mexico. Sorry to say, they're in Nicaragua, they're in Cuba, they're in Venezuela, they're taking all of Latin America. They're in our hemisphere. The Monroe Doctrine is not observed. We don't enforce it. And so if all that happens, and plus we're cut off, there's raw materials, there's minerals, there's rare earth minerals we don't have to make a modern military. So if we get cut off, we not only can be economically embargoed, we may be energy self-sufficient, but we're not self-sufficient in everything we need to be a military power. And so then what do we do then when the Chinese and Russians own, you know, all the other continents? We are not in a position to survive long term.
Well, your prognosis is not all that good, is it, sir?
Well, no, it's not what I'm seeing. And of course, Biden doesn't really care. I think it was Jonathan Fink on the Silicon Curtain podcast, where he, you know, he leans to the left. He thought Biden was going to defend Ukraine. He thought Trump was a bad guy. When I think Trump gave weapons to Ukraine, and Biden reluctantly did because of the war, but Obama never gave any weapons to Ukraine. And so people don't, I think he was surprised, and so he's upset that Biden isn't doing what he thought he would do, because Biden is deceptive. And I think that people are going to find this is true for Scholz and Macron. Macron promising, saying, we need to send French troops. That was a tactic. He wasn't serious. He was trying to scare the French and the Europeans out of helping Ukraine, because he was trying to make them think that the only way Ukraine could be saved is if Europeans have to fight and die, not that they just give them weapons, because Ukrainians weren't asking for Europeans to go and fight and die in the war. They're not asking for Americans to come and fight. I mean, if America wants to leave America and go volunteer, that's his business. But no, the Ukrainians aren't asking for that. They're just asking for material assistance to survive. And it is in Europe and America's strategic interest. But it's funny how after 2 years, once the public's attention has wandered off to false narratives, to la-la land, where the Russian active measures have taken control of their thought process, those politicians that they own now feel safe to basically cut them off. I think that's what's happened. Because if you think that Washington isn't crawling with spies and they're not working to blackmail or recruit or bribe people in Congress and people in American politics, you're naive. Same thing in Berlin and Paris and London and Warsaw. You know, this is where the major countries is where the Russian special services are concentrated in their efforts, and the Chinese too, who are aligned with the Russians, by the way, and are rooting for Russia to win the war.
Absolutely. Jeff, you ready for our first caller?
Sure.
We got Michelle in New York. Morning, Michelle.
Hey, I'm back. So in the Tucker interview, what do you think would have happened if Tucker was like, not for nothing, Putin, but you did agree that, you know, China can conquer the lower 48. Do you think he would actually ever ask him a question like that?
It would be interesting if he did. It would be interesting to see the look on Putin's face, although Putin has a pretty good poker face from being a KGB officer. The thing is, Tucker Carlson means well, but I think he doesn't know enough about. This is the problem with the subject. If you don't know what defectors have said and what has leaked out of China and Russia, because these countries are enemies of the United States, and we have regarded them mistakenly as friends or partners, economic partners or partners against Islamic terror, what have you. This mistake has allowed us to fool ourselves because we wanted to believe something good in the world. We didn't want to believe we had enemies. And of course, that's a problem because they really are enemies. But how do you see inside an enemy's head when he's smiling at you and telling you he's your friend, right? You can only have people who have sort of come out of that camp, come out of Russia and China, defectors, and documents and people with documents. You have to look at what they have to say and say, are they telling us a consistent story about the mind of the Chinese, the strategic mind of the Chinese leaders or the Russian leaders? Is there something that they know that could inform us as to what is going to be served up to us in the future by Russia and China? And what I found is I realized back in the 1980s when I was beginning to study this that there is this amazing consistency. They're telling the same story from different vantage points within the Soviet system, within the Chinese system. And when you put it all together, it's a horrifying picture of their intention. Their intention is to destroy the United States. And they use all kinds of methods to do it. And even nuclear war is on the table for them, which is really scary because we don't think that's even, you know, credible.
Yeah. You know. I saw, this was a while ago when Trump was still in office. It was at, I don't know what event it was, but it was where all the world leaders were there. And Trump is standing there with all of his people. And then Putin, he comes up to him as if like he was the only one in the room. And like he gives him this big hug and like he says something to him. Like you don't know what he's saying, but just as if like he had so much respect for him. And then he turns around and walks away. And then like he looks back at Trump. And I'm like, I'm trying to dissect this video of them too. I'm like, when you watch it, you would think as if, you know, Putin is, you know, a friend of Trump. But I'm like, all right, we're watching a master of deception, right? Did he know the cameras were on him? Like, is he playing the role of someone that wanted to do business with Trump? Like, you know, so I found that.
Right, maybe he looked back because he wanted to see what effect he had, right? See if he could.
Yeah.
You know, because Trump is a cagey character, too. He would meet with Xi in Florida and have him as a guest at his house. And then Trump would cut the floor out from under him on trade. And from what I've heard from Chinese sources is the Chinese were really damaged by Trump's trade policies. And they were scared to death of him. They didn't know what to expect because Trump holds his cards close, right? And so you don't really know what he's thinking. And he says, Trump is good at deception. He says things that then he does other things differently later. And of course, Trump wasn't able to do everything he wanted to do. And I know that he doesn't fully understand these issues, because I know people that I know one guy that advised him when he was president, who that guy didn't understand, and I had an argument with him over Russia once. So I don't know where Trump is. Trump is different than other politicians because he can zig and he can zag. He can maneuver. And he does it rather in an interesting way. So he's a game player. You know, he's a strategist. The question is, will he learn and will he get to know the game? And look at what they did to him to get him out of office.
Yeah, you know, I just have like a short list of questions I'm trying to get through really quick here. Do you know who Vladimir Soloviev is? He has a platform in Russia. He was on the Alex Jones show after that attack in Moscow at the theater.
Yeah, he's the Russian television presenter.
Yeah, so, I mean, the whole interview, it seemed very Team Putin-ish. I mean, they all do, but... I do remember one thing he said. It was like a two-hour interview. Obviously, I don't remember anything, but like one of the last things he said, he was like, Putin, Russia has, you know, endless amounts of resources. Why would they want to invade Europe? They have all the resources they need. So basically saying that, you know, Putin has no reason to invade Europe. So
you know, that's the idea that people go to war over resources. And that can be true in certain instances, but no, it's not the only motive for war. And in fact, you know, if you look at Genghis Khan, he had everything. He and his golden horde had everything they needed. You know, they didn't need more land and more people, but hey, let's go get them. Conquest and dominance. Alexander the Great wept because there were no more worlds to conquer after he conquered India. Of course, there were. He just couldn't get to those other worlds. But, you know, it's the idea of conquering and dominating is just a male instinct. And it's also a political instinct for regimes that are based on force and violence and deception. Because the logic is if we stop conquering, we'll be conquered. It's eat or be eaten. That's the logic of those regimes. That's the logic of China. It's the logic of Russia. So that's why all these regimes are constantly building nuclear weapons, trying to get better weapons. And of course, part of the reason why they have difficulties with their economies, because they're so focused on, you know, a dominant military and also social and psychological dominance, that they've neglected their economic side. Whereas in the West, we're all about, you know, the economy and getting people to have better lives. That's why when the Cold War ended, we stopped making nuclear weapons. They didn't.
Okay. Well, I've been listening to you for well over a year, and so far it's just you and Jill Skousen that, you know, have the same talking point, which obviously it's true that China and Russia are allied. I mean, I listened to so many people, and you know, everyone with just like the most impressive credentials, and you'll be listening to them, like, wow, you know, yeah, they really know a lot. And at the end of the interview, they'll be like, they're Russian Orthodox. Putin is a Christian. I'm like, oh, here we go again. It's like, I think the only person that I heard that actually said the same thing that you and people like Jill Skousen say is Alex Newman, who is a really good investigative journalist. And he just briefly touched up on it. He was like, yeah, he's like, you know, China and Russia, they're allied. This has been going on for a really long time. I'm like, all right, so that's three people out of like hundreds of people. But no, that's really it. But yeah, I've noticed, I'm like, wow, this guy gets picked on a lot. Like, does he have anyone that supports him, like his family? And I just started reading your book, Origins of a Fourth World War. It's really good. It's a little out of my league, but I really like it. I'm going to finish it. But you touch up on in the Madness of Columbus, how some of your family members say you're crazy and you need to do soul searching. I'm like, oh.
Hold on, guys. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on the frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. We're having a Zoom meeting this Friday at 7 p.m. Central Time about the LifeWave products. You want to learn more about the LifeWave products that I use every day, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. You'll see in red letters the link to listen to the Zoom meeting, 7 p.m. Friday Central Time. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. Jeff, before we get back to our caller, Michelle, tell people how they can subscribe to your website, please.
There's a PayPal button below every video or audio every week that I post.
All right. Michelle, did you have a further comment or question for Jeff?
Yeah, I have one more question. You know the saying they have, make them rich today, shoot them tomorrow?
Oh, yes. That's the Yin and Way that Mao was lecturing on in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah. So are any of these Chinese prostitutes, I'm sorry, I mean American politicians, that's my joke for the morning, but are any of them exempt from being put up against a wall when the time comes for them to take out other treasonous traitors that helped bring them into power? Because, like, you know, you look at, you know, Newsom and Trudeau, it's like, wow, like, they're really doing the bidding of China. Like, that day is eventually going to come for all of them.
I think that if they're, you know, there's agents, there's useful idiots, there's people who believe in this cause of socialism, but there's actual agents who are part of the apparatus of of a communist, particular communist apparatus, and they for the morale of their organization, they take care of their own. But you might have a whole bunch of people doing their bidding without knowing what they're doing. Those people that are part of an intelligence operation and know they are, and they might be American nationals, maybe who were trained in Russia and or China, they would be the ones that would be respected because they were actual communists rather than people who think they are communists.
So like the ones that think they are, like the AOCs and ones like that, right?
Right. People who are just sort of hired help who don't really understand. When you get into communist organizations, there's people who really do the education. They read Karl Marx. They understand the strategy. They go to the meetings. They follow what's going on. They are pushing at the wheel. Those people are considered more than friends. They're part of the movement. But they're actually very few because the communist movement, well, the communist movement is a minority of communists with a majority of fellow travelers, socialists, and people who think they believe in Marxism, who don't really understand what it is. When you read Soviet books, for example, from the Soviet era, they'll say things like, well, Marx never said that equality is the goal, that we're trying to make people equal. That's not in Marx's writings. You know, Slavoj Žižek pointed that out to Jordan Peterson when he debated him. Peterson had that wrong. It's not about equality. But a lot of people go along with this because they believe in equality, and they're not understanding. it's different than that. And I think the people who really understand it understand that to some extent, it's just a way to get power. Communism is. It's a demagoguery for getting power to controlling the world and the destiny of the human race.
All right, well, it was really good talking to you guys this morning. Thank you for your comments. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Michelle. We appreciate it. Our next caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I have a question. If the invasion of Ukraine had succeeded 2 years ago, what would have transpired in the time being between then and now? What would be going on right now?
Well, if they had succeeded, then I think China would have been in a position to push on, you know, if the FSB papers are correct, and we don't know if all of our information is correct. They would have pushed on Japan next, actually not Taiwan, if that is true. Their ultimate objective is the United States, so maybe this, of course, they needed Biden to get elected. You know, Mr. Wang of Luda Media has talked about the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Mexico leading up to the southern border. The fact that Biden has opened up the southern border, Mr. Wang told me last Friday that the plan is to put 250,000 Chinese communist operatives, CCP operatives, into the United States over that southern border. So if 8 million people have gone over, 250,000 Chinese agents and saboteurs, you know, whatever they are, commandos, you know, sleeper agents, however you want to put it, that's a huge army of people inside the United States ready to conduct sabotage.
We have a break. We'll break there.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Gather around the fire, won't you take a seat? There's a tale to tell about a stove so neat. It warms your body and it warms your soul. Liberator Rocket Stove, gonna make you whole, oh yeah.
No smoke, no fuss, just the warmth you need. Cooking up a meal while you plant your seed.
Uses wood or pellets, it's a natural burn. Liberator Rocket Stove will make you yearn. Visit libertyman.com. Visit libertyman.com.
Website is thelibertyman.com. We have a Zoom meeting scheduled for 7 p.m. Central this coming Friday. You go to invest for the LifeWave products that I use every day. They're great products to help you achieve your goals. Your details at the LifeWave panel at thelibertyman.com. Building with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. Did you have more response for John from Texas there, Jeff, or are we finished?
No, I maybe you, John has another question.
Do you have another question or comment, John?
Yes. Why two things, Maury? Why is would they have moved by now against the Baltics and Moldova, and why doesn't Belarus, why have they refused to come into it directly?
Well, the Belarusians don't want to, first of all, their army is not in very good shape, and a lot of them sympathize with Ukraine and Belarusia. When Lukashenko talked about joining the war, his defense minister resigned. So he's got a problem with the Belarusian army. They don't want to fight Ukrainians. And so the Russians are having to try to cajole them And there's probably been changes in the Belarusian government, although Lukashenko's been good at sort of remaining, you know, promising Putin what he wants. But, you know, he's in a sort of difficult position because he has to manage a society that doesn't want to go along with the Russians, Russian plans. Mm. I mean, I think Lukashenko probably is obligated to do what Putin says. And, of course, Putin has moved nuclear weapons into Belarusia, into Belarus.
But they won't, and they won't even let it be used as a platform or a kind of road to get into Western Ukraine.
They won't let what get used?
They won't let at least even let the Russian army traverse their territory, though their own army doesn't get involved. They allow the Russians to use it as a base from which to attack the western part of Ukraine.
Yeah,
north.
That's correct. Yeah, they're letting their country be used as a base also to threaten the Baltic states and Poland. They're letting their country be used as a base. Russia moved last summer nuclear weapons into Belarusia, which is against the nuclear, non-proliferation treaty, which they also violated when they invaded Ukraine because Ukraine gave its nuclear weapons over to Russia in exchange for a promise that Russia would respect Ukraine's borders. That's called the Budapest Memorandum. It's a side agreement to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which Russia is a signatory to. So, Belarusia, Lukashenko is, I think, with Putin. But you've got societies that, you know, where the people lived under the Soviet Union, they were enslaved. And they've got a little bit more freedom, and they really don't want to be part of that anymore. So there's a kind of passive resistance and maybe even open resistance. Remember, Lukashenko probably lost his last election to a lady that set up a government in exile. I think it's in Lithuania. And there were riots in Minsk. And if you saw the video footage from the highway between Minsk and Moscow, there were Russian police, riot police, being sent from Moscow to put down the riots in Minsk, because the Belarusian police didn't want to beat up their own relatives for protesting against the fraudulent election. So that's the situation. I mean, it could be volatile in Belarus, and probably Lukashenko is telling Putin, look, I'd like to help you, but these people, I could have a revolution like they had in Ukraine if I'm not careful. And so the Russians probably would like to annex. I think Yuri Felchinsky made the point that the Russians would probably like to annex Belarusia, but that would probably be the last straw. I mean, Europe, that might, you know, destroy their hopes of, you know, pushing America out of Europe for another generation. Because once they do that, then it's like, oh, okay, you can't really deny that this is going to stop at you know, with Donbass or Crimea. They're going all the way to Warsaw or Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Warsaw, Berlin, Europe. Like, yeah, in 1921.
Well, Russian officials have talked since Gorbachev about the one common European home, and Europe from Brest to Vladivostok or from Lisbon to Vladivostok, you know, the whole thing, the whole Eurasian continent belonging under Moscow. And this is something to pay attention to because it's what Alexander Dugin has been talking about, Eurasianism, and destroying America. I mean, that's one of Dugin's slogans. If you've seen Dugin on Alex Jones, he's not the nice Dugin if you actually read him, that he is on Alex Jones, where I respect Americans and blah, blah, blah. But no, he's written, we have to destroy America. America is Carthage and we're Rome. This is what Dugin says. Russia is Rome and America is Carthage, and therefore Carthage must be destroyed. America must be destroyed. And that slogan isn't just a nothing. I mean, he's referred to as Putin's brain. I don't think he's as close to Putin as he's often pretended, but he's a major strategist, and Putin has ironically followed many of his prescriptions. And it's probably because they both work for the same cause, right? It isn't necessarily that he's advising Putin. I think Putin gets plenty of advice, and there's a huge machine over there that's moving in our direction.
And I'm top of that, China's internal situation is getting really sour, isn't it?
Yes. Well, they have their real estate bubble collapse. They've had massive malinvestment in the Chinese economy. They've invested in buildings and building whole cities that nobody wants to live in. No, nobody. They thought people would keep coming from the countryside. They didn't use market forces to determine how many buildings they built in past decades, the last two decades. And so as a consequence, they suddenly built too much. And, you know, imagine building all kinds of houses. There's nobody to live in them. You've just lost a lot of money. Because how do you get the return on the investment? You paid all those people. You built the houses. You supplied the material. You supplied the labor. And where's your return? So the problem is their banking system, their investment system, is on the edge of a cliff. You know, they have to absorb these losses. How do they do it? They're trying right now. They're getting the Chinese people to absorb the losses, which is making them very unhappy. And their economy is suffering blows. And now that the rest of the world, a lot of companies are spontaneously saying these people are crazy or they're evil. We need to get out of, you know, out of partnership with them. So the world economy is sort of gradually decoupling from the Chinese economy. If this continues in this direction, I heard one Wall Street banker say that within 2 years, now he said this last year, within 2 years, the Chinese economy is going to collapse. And of course, that could mean a revolution in China. And they know it in Beijing. They know that.
So they're going to have to do so. So they're, so everything's at a tipping point because of that. Either they do something now, or they could lose everything forever.
Yeah, well, you know, Chinese Defense Minister Chiao Chen, who made this secret speech 21 years ago, spoke about the inevitability of a Chinese economic downturn, and that if we don't want the Chinese people to hang us in the streets, we have to teach the Chinese people to go out, to take new territory, to get new plunder, and to make a second America in the lower 48 states. And she spoke about this possibility of an inevitable economic dislocation. And Chinese generals have said on Chinese TV over the last several years, you know, if the economy tanks, we have to go to war. So that's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. And I've heard this from people from China. Hong Kong businessman made a point about the communists he knew. They're saying they've decided on war. This was more than 2 years ago now. Almost 3 years ago. I've heard it from people in the intelligence business who have assets in Asia, saying Russia and China made a decision to war. China's really pushing it harder than Russia. Russia's, you know, said that it's not ready. This was back in 2020. So there's a lot of indicators. You know, you can't take any single source as gospel, but when you put everything together, the whole picture is, yeah, they're moving, you know, they're mobilizing. This is what Mr. Wang told me, you know, that he did the 57-minute secret recording of a civil military meeting in Guangdong in May of 2022. There were mobilization orders. And he says this mobilization continues. They mobilized what they talked about in that meeting already. And they're doing more mobilizations. They want to have an overwhelming force advantage over us when they finally go to war. Now, can their economy withstand the pressure of this buildup? You know, because when you're doing all these military buildup things, you're not getting any money coming in. Because a military doesn't bring in money, it conquers territory, you can get loot, but the war hasn't started. So can they make it work? I don't know. Probably they can.
Okay, let's move on. John, thank you for your call. Our next caller is JP in Chicago. Good morning, JP.
Yeah, hey guys. Jeff, I have to concur with you on the invasion part. You know, I spent a lot of time in a Republican state, and it was, you know, low crime. And ever since COVID, I watched, I believe that was the start of asymmetrical warfare. And the invaders are everywhere here in Chicago. It's like DEI central here. Everything's upside down. Even the construction workers, you'll see them, not a single English-speaking guy on the construction crew working on our streets. And one thing, I ID'd these guys. They look like skinnies, like from the movie Black Hawk Down. They're all skinny. But what's changing is they're all getting pivot. They're all getting welfare. They're getting those checks. They're getting on a link card. They're getting free food. And, you know, the rent paid. So that invasion has begun. But the question I got for you, Jeff, is have you heard about the Iranians working with the Venezuelans and sheep dipping? They're putting a lot of Iranians in Venezuela and then shipping them here through the border. And then the Chinese, of course, we heard that. But that's something I heard recently was the Iranians and the Venezuelans working together. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, that's been true for a long time. There were talks. The German press revealed secret meetings. This is 20 years ago now, or almost 20 years ago. It's maybe 18 years ago. There were talks about Iran building missiles and shipping them to Venezuela, missiles that could hit the United States, and stationing them in Venezuela. So there were these discussions between Caracas and Tehran back then. And so they are part of the, what you could call the extended communist bloc. I mean, Venezuela is a socialist country aligned with Cuba. It has a lot of Cubans in it, helping to run it. And Iran, the top mullah, was educated at Moscow State University. So this is liberation theology Islam. Iran is really aligned with Russia and China. So it would be natural for them to work together, Venezuela and Iran, of course.
And Brazil as well. My ex-wife was from Brazil. And I know once they got taken over recently, the information I'm hearing is that they've gone complete commie there in Brazil. Elon Musk is fighting them.
Is basically for part of the Sao Paulo Forum, which was founded by Fidel Castro and Lula da Silva, the current president of course. And Lula broke the law. He got caught. He got thrown in jail. And then the Brazilian courts let him out, let him run for president, and he supposedly wouldn't have been eligible. And then the election was kind of funny, and he won the election. And then Bolsonaro is now going to be put into prison. You know, they've taken away his passport. Over there, he came back to Brazil after he originally fled to Florida. And I know people I know who I've talked to that were part of his government that are in jail now.
Yep.
And I have friends, Brazilian journalist Alan dos Santos, for example, he was the first. He left when Bolsonaro was still president. He said, you guys are going to get arrested and put in jail. And they had a death threat out on him. They had tasked to assassinate him because he had revealed, what China was doing in Brazil, and that really made the communists angry. And of course, Lula has offered to trade a Russian spy for Allen if the U.S. government hands him over. You know, so it's what can I say? It's monstrous.
Monstrous
what is going on. Brazil's becoming a communist country, and the people there who opposed communism are, if they go back, if they were effective anti-communists, they will go to jail or they'll be murdered.
Yeah. And so Ramadan's over with. Ramadan's over with. So Iran, China, and Russia are all allies in my book. I think they're going to strike soon. John, I just want to say to you, John, I got a hold of the AG in Indiana, and we got that case moving. So thank you for your support on that.
Appreciate it. You're welcome, sir. Good luck on it.
Take care, guys.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. The call number is 512-248-8252. We got about a minute before our last break here, Jeff.
A whole minute.
I know.
Yeah. Well,
time flies.
I mean, the caller's last comment was that they could strike us. Yes, they could strike us at any time. It's a question of whether they're ready. And, of course, because of Ukraine, I don't think they're ready. But they're using Ukraine. They're saying, all right, Ukraine stopped us. We'll just use that to get even more ready than we even had planned originally, that we because it's sort of like the war itself now camouflages anything they get ready to go to war with us, anything they do to get ready to go to war with us. They can camouflage it as part of the war in Ukraine. So they can mobilize this and that. They could create new weapons. They can mobilize their industries in ways. And meanwhile, are we mobilizing our industry? Are we getting our people oriented towards a possible that we're in a pre-war period? No. No, we're not. We're acting as if this is just a small, you know, kerfuffle in Eastern Europe. And it's really these, you look at Russia on the map, it's 11 time zones.
You look at China, it's huge. About not quite half the planet. Here's our last break. We'll be right back.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas.
The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape.
Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Jeff, got about 2.5 minutes to summarize your thoughts for the day and for the week, sir.
Well, we've had some interesting callers today. The big concern, the big picture, is, of course, what I look at is the big powers and how they relate to each other and how wars start. And you go back through history, starting with the Greeks, you've got the Greeks versus the Persians. You had two invasions by the Persians of Greece until Alexander the Great united the Greeks. His father actually did that, and then they invaded Persia and took it over. The Persian Empire had been the biggest empire in the world at the time. So you had that. You had Rome emerge, Rome versus Carthage. They had three wars. They called them the Punic Wars. It ended in Carthage's destruction, the destruction of Carthage. So then you had Rome basically took over the Mediterranean world, and then Rome versus the barbarians. Eventually the barbarians overran Rome. So the Roman Empire, you know, that's where you get Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Western Roman Empire basically fell in the 5th century A.D. and Byzantium in the 15th century A.D., just before Columbus. So it's a long history of wars, of competitions between large political formations, empires, and nations. And that doesn't change. Nations vie for dominance. They vie to stay coherent. The people that are at the head of nations are supposedly working for the nation to remain and to be strong. But you got to wonder, when you look at the leaders in Europe and in the United States, what are they doing? You know, and this is what I point out. We haven't built a nuclear weapon since 1992. We haven't tested one since September of 92. We have the Minuteman III as our ICBM. We have roughly 450 of them. And half of the tests in the last 5 years have failed, which suggests that half of those missiles don't work, won't reach their targets. So why have we allowed our main nuclear deterrent, when Russia and China are rapidly modernizing and building up their deterrent? They have new missiles, new generations of missiles, like the Road Mobile SS-27 of the Russians. We don't even have. Why is this happening? Yeah.
Well, great question. We'll get back to this discussion next Wednesday. We appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
That's it for the day. That's getting your medical. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri. Large beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in. Even larger beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please God bless the United States of America.
Health Simple with Colorado Shioji. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the Gold Mountain and Medical Symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.